Hi, I'm Marianne Williamson, and the tape you're about to hear is a live lecture I gave based on the ideas in a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy called A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is not a religion, but a psychological training in the relinquishment of a thought system based on fear and the acceptance instead of a thought system based on love.
Together we all take a very deep breath. We close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same beautiful golden light. We're here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote this time spent together tonight, everything that happens here, and our relationships to one another, to Him, that they might be used for His purposes. We ask that in all things, all unfold according to His will. We ask that His Spirit so enter into us, guiding our thoughts, our feelings, and all of our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier, more peaceful, more loving human beings. Together, we all say, Amen. The story of Easter is the story of the complete transcendence of the laws of this earth. The Course in Miracles tells us that miracles reverse the laws of time and space, that miracles occur naturally as an expression of love, and that as an expression of love, what occurs is an unfoldment in which all negativity, all lack, all scarcity, all darkness or pain of any kind is transformed into energies of healing and correction. That is the psychological principle of resurrection. The notion that when crucifixion, i.e., the energy pattern of that darkness, of that scarcity, of that pain, on any level is given back to the Spirit, which is the ultimate and infinite principle of healing and correction, then no matter what form that crucifixion takes, it might be something individually in terms of our own addictions or obsessions or compulsions or despair of any kind. It might be something collectively in terms of war, hunger, disease, whatever. In fact, the Course in Miracles makes it very clear that the form of the darkness, the form the crucifixion takes, is irrelevant. What is not irrelevant, however, is that no matter what the form of crucifixion, the answer is the same. No matter what the problem, the answer is the same. The Course in Miracles says you think you have many different problems. Really, you only have one, and that is separation from God. All negative unfoldment or crucifixion is a manifestation of separation from God. God is a thought. To be separate from God means to be separate from the thoughts of love. So everything that occurs as a crucifixion pattern is something which is a reflection of mental separation from the thought of love. Now, the Course in Miracles says that there is only one answer, the answer with a capital A. The form of the crucifixion, as I said, is irrelevant. The first line, as a matter of fact, in the text of the Course is, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. The effects of love are always maximal. There's a line that is a lesson in the workbook of the Course in Miracles. It is also in the Bible where it says, God Himself shall wipe away all tears. That means all tears, no matter what, for whatever reason. And the Course in Miracles does have a beautiful line where it says, there is no loss except in time, and time does not exist. So all of the darkness that we experience in our own lives and in our planetary experience is something that is a reflection of the deviation of the human mind from God or the love which is within us. Now, since only love is real, the Course tells us, since only love is real, when the mind does deviate, When anything occurs, it is a deviation from that love. It is actually a product of an illusion. Because the Course in Miracles says when you're not thinking with God, since God is all that is real, if you're not thinking with God, you're not actually thinking at all. You're hallucinating. And that's what the Course in Miracles says that this world is. It's like a mass hallucination. So the crucifixion, even of Jesus on the cross, was a hallucination. He says to us in the Course, he says, show that the crucifixion did not occur. And that is what the resurrection shows. It showed, for instance, in its ultimate theological context, that you can destroy the body, but you cannot destroy the Son of God. That is because the Son of God is an essential reality. You and I exist, the Course in Miracles says, as ideas in the thoughts of God, in the mind of God. Our bodies are just clothes that we're wearing, like a suit of clothes. And as a suit of clothes, it's a temporal reality, dust to dust. The Course says birth is not a beginning, it's a continuation of life. And death is not an end, it's a continuation of life. This whole world of the physical, of the human storyline is a dream that we're having. And what the crucifixion of Jesus represents is a nightmare, a dream that is taken to its deadliest and darkest. Resurrection is what happens when the human mind awakens from its sleep. And you and I are lost in what is in esoteric metaphysics often called the sleep of a racial consciousness of dense materialism. And by that I mean that you and I see ourselves as beings of the material plane. But we're not beings of the material plane. We're beings of spirit. This world is not our home, the Course in Miracles says. The Course says that we all feel like aliens here. And the reason, on some level, we all feel like aliens here is because we are. There's a story, a book I read by a friend sort of about the Course in Miracles where he says, it's a book called The Chicken and the Eagle. And in the story of the chicken and the eagle, the baby eagle gets lost and is raised by chickens. And because chickens don't know anything about eagles, the chickens raise this baby eagle to be a chicken, to walk around like a chicken. So then when the eagle grows up, the eagle has never learned to fly. And some eagles see him and say, well, you're an eagle, why aren't you flying? And the reason the eagle wasn't flying was because no one told him he could. No one told him that he had wings. No one told him it's your natural right, it's your entitlement, it's who you are to fly. And since no one had told him, he thought, oh, well, I guess I'm just a chicken. I'm supposed to just walk around like a chicken. So what most of us, as we are asleep because from the gate, you know, it's like as soon as we're born, we're given a sleeping pill. You know, from the moment we get here, it's like we're taught we're not who we are. And we're taught that we are who we're not. The Course in Miracles says, that's your real problem. You forgot who you are. So we don't think we can transcend death. We don't think that we can transcend illness. We don't think that we can, with a burst of God's love and alchemical action within us, rise above any dark manifestation. Now, that doesn't take away our power. The fact that we forgot that we have this power does not take it away from us. As a matter of fact, the Course says it's held in trust until we realize the truth about ourselves. Although it does not take away the truth about us, what it does is it keeps us from actualizing that truth. So this period of time, you know, on the third day he rose. Now what that means is that there is no form of crucifixion that does not ultimately give rise to resurrection. Why? Because it is the will of God. There has never been a storm on this earth that has not passed. There has never been a Hitler that ultimately won the war. There has never been a disease. Take something like the bubonic plague. Even the bubonic plague, there was never a cure. It died out. Ultimately, the ways of correction, the ways of healing, if even we do nothing, will always come back around. The point is, how long are those 3 days? On the third day, he rose. Well, if you want 3 days to be 3,000 years, it can be that. If you want the 3 days to be many incarnations, you can do that. But the message of the Course is, you can do it now. And what that means is that we can permit ourselves. We can have the audacity. We can have the chutzpah to say, yeah, why not me? Why not? why not? And everybody said, oh, how dare you? And the ego mind of other people and in yourself will say that's arrogant. That's arrogant of you to own that the power of resurrection is simply a psychological principle to which all the children of God are entitled. It's our wings. It's our birthright. We were not born to be children of crucifixion. We were born to be children of resurrection. And of course, what the ego mind has done, the Course in Miracles tells us, but we knew this before we read this book, is come up with a whole religion that makes us focus on the crucifixion rather than the resurrection. But the story of Easter is not about our suffering. I mean, you live your life. You don't need to read about it further. Right? That, and you see, by the way, Christianity is not the only context that really delves into crucifixion. There are a lot of contexts these days. So hiding behind principles, disguising themselves as a new kind of mental health that glorifies the crucifixion even further. It's just the temptation of the ego to stay stuck in the crucifixion, in the dysfunctions, as it were, of the earth plane. Of course you've had dysfunctional relationships. Of course you've had dysfunctional families. This world is a dysfunction. That's what the world is. It's a place which is dominated by fear rather than love. But the message of the Course is that it doesn't matter the form. Whenever you see dysfunction, cross it out and put crucifixion. I have been crucified. Of course you have, and you've given some out probably too. Unless you're an enlightened master, right? I mean, we all, you know, next time you think about whether or not you've been in abusive relationships, ask yourself which ones you were the abuser in. Because everybody's going around saying, I've been in abusive relationships, meaning they abused me, which leaves nobody left to have been the abuser. Right? So the notion is to know we all conspire in this. We all conspire in this to attack, to invalidate, to attack the innocent child of God which is within us. Easter is not about the crucifixion. Easter is about the resurrection. Easter is about what happens when a miracle occurs. And that miracle is a shift in our thinking, the Course in Miracles says, from fear to love. And the thoughts of fear are the thoughts that we're powerless. The thoughts that there's nothing we can do. Now here there's a semantic difference here with AA. It's the same message, but we're talking about a different use of the word for a moment. Because when we're talking about powerless, when AA talks about powerless, that's the same thing the Course in Miracles says when it says when you see of yourself, you are powerless. Of yourself, you can do nothing. Of yourself, just like the message of the crucifixion is the same thing as in the 12-step programs when it says your best thinking got you here. Your best thinking got you here. You want to be depressed? Your best thinking got you here. And that means that the thinking of this earth plane is so askew, is so, as the Course says, 180 degrees away from the thinking of God. And what the crucifixion of Jesus is, the Course tells us, is an extreme teaching example. You take, like, what could be the sort of darkest symbol you could come up with? Well, how about the torture and then the murder of an innocent man who hadn't hurt anybody? In fact, it helped a lot of people. I mean, it's like that's just the extreme example. And yet, he chose, the Course in Miracles says, Jesus chose that example to prove that when the mind is held, the mind is held to its eaglehood rather than its chickenhood, when the mind is held to a knowledge of the power of God's love which is within us, there's just nothing on this earth plane which can touch you. You are heir to the laws of this earth plane to the extent that you identify with it. If that's what you declare as your reality, that will be your reality. If you, in your own mind, and it's not enough just to do it verbally, but if in your own mind you declare, but none of that has an effect on me, because through the grace of God which is within me, I rise. Through the alchemical action of the Holy Spirit, I am lifted, I am delivered, I am saved. See, these are really great words. I am saved from my negative thinking. I am delivered from hell. Hell isn't something that happens after you die. It's a hotel everybody in this room has been to. That's what hell is. Hell is, the Course in Miracles says, what the ego mind makes of the present. To be delivered from hell to heaven means to be delivered from this small context to a place of grandeur. You know, my friend Rich and I were talking today, and we were talking about how we find ourselves and we find each other tempted sometimes to just bemoan the crucifixion in our lives, and how we have learned through experience how powerful it is to just get off it, you know, to just get off it and to speak. Because I've seen in some cases in my life, if people will say to you, how are you doing? Right? Now, you got to have some people in your life. You do. You got to have a therapist, friends. You know, you've got to have one, two, three people in your life to whom you can tell the real truth, which is awful. I feel awful. Right? But if you get into telling everyone that, you will definitely feel awful. Right? And so this kind of, and the interesting thing is, you know, it's like you fake it till you make it. But the interesting thing is, the part of you that feels awful is the fake. The part of you that feels awful is not your real self. The part of you that feels awful is your ego. And so what feels to us like an act, the only reason it feels like an act is because it's who we really are. To say, well, I know it's healing. I know that God's on the way. Right? That's your real self talking. That is your real self talking. It just feels unnatural to you to own that, to say, well, a miracle is happening. And I said to him, it was so amazing to see this and to see in my life how often, because you think you're going to feel better. You think if you tell people how bad it is, you'll feel better. Depending on who they are, maybe not. Right? Now, if it's that context of a real close friend who really knows you, or a professional or something that's going to sort of help you transform that energy into something positive, then yes, and we all need that, that place where we can give it to transform. But sometimes we think talking it will by definition get rid of it, and it won't by definition get rid of it, because it has to do with where you're putting it. Because if you're putting it out into the universe, into a space where people are going to conspire with you on some way, on some level, in the perception of your own weakness and inability to get beyond it, you're not going to resurrect from that place. And I was saying to Rich, just think, Rich, we've studied, you know, metaphysics and esoterics and the Course in Miracles for all these years. And the answer to all of our problems really was what my parents said to me from the time I was 5. Stop whining. Stop whining. Stop whining. And that really is this major message of Easter. Stop whining. Right? And own it. Right? And so the whole notion of resurrection in terms of Jesus' transcendence of death itself is that the laws of death are not the laws of God. Because if the birth is just the continuation of life and not the beginning, and if death is a continuation of life and not an end, that means that there is no death. That's what the Course in Miracles tells us. There is no death. We just think people die when they die. Because, once again, we're taught that the physical universe is reality. What I see with my eyes is reality. What I hear with my ears is reality. So if I see your body moving, you're alive. If I don't see your body moving anymore, you're no longer alive. That's what we think. And because it's what we think and because it's what we're taught, we're unhappy and our emotions follow that thought. I remember somebody, I don't remember who it was and what it was talking about how they were explaining to a child that there is no Santa Claus, and they were going to break it to him gently that there is no Santa Claus. How liberal. The radical truth is not to tell a child that there is no Santa Claus. The radical truth is to say there is a Santa Claus. I'll try to tell you there's not a Santa Claus. Don't listen to that crap. I remember my father used to say that to me all the time. We used to come home from school. What did they teach you in school today? We'd tell him. He'd say, you buy that? Because there were so many things. There were so many things that we would be taught. That we would be taught and that all of us just take for granted about this world. It is just the way we're taught that it is. And that's the sadness of this world, this mass sleep that we're in. Remember Ionesco's play, Rhinoceros? Many of us had to read when we were kids in school. And he was actually talking about the Nazis in Germany. But he was, you know, this whole notion of one person buys it, so the other person buys it, so the other person buys it, so the other person buys it. The heroic nature within us, the Christ which is within us, by definition says, you know, I see it another way. I choose to see it another way. And that's what Jesus did. We've said here many times, if Jesus up on the cross just went with the perceptions of the world, you know, because he says in the Course, he says, the way you see things, I was beaten, I was betrayed, and finally murdered. but I didn't choose to perceive it that way. Right? What if he had chosen to perceive it that way? He would have been up on the cross screaming at everybody, I hate you. And I say, you know, then there would be no Easter. It would have been a completely different movie. Right? Because he would have just stayed with the race consciousness. He would have just stayed with the race consciousness, and that would have been it. There would have been no saving grace. But he chose. He made a decision. You know, there's a word in the Course in Miracles which is so 20th century. It's very interesting because psychologically it has taken 2,000 years to reach a century where enough people are open to a word. I mean, all of philosophy, not just theology, but all of philosophy and psychology has prepared us to be a people able to understand the significance of the word choice. Existential choice, a choice that you make. You know, we've said here before, when Jesus said, we were talking about this last week, when the Jews said to Jesus, save us, save us, save us, they meant save us from the power of the Romans. Save us from the power of Romans. They were an enslaved people. And Jesus said, I got it. I got it. I'm the king. I'll tell you what to do to handle the Romans who were enslaving them. And the Jews were all excited because the Jews had seen him heal the sick and the Jews had seen him raise the dead. They knew he could do amazing things. They said, great, tell us what to do. And Jesus said, love them. They went, what? He said, love them. And you know, there was no psychology 101A in these days. You know, there was no one saying, well, you know, your attitude do totally create your reality. So people could not possibly, people just did not get it. And you can't blame them. People don't get it today, by the way. Today, to say, you know, I've said it many times, what candidate who wanted to be elected president of the United States, based on, I think the way we should deal with them, I think we should love them, would get elected in this Christian nation, right? Right? So it's still radical. It's still radical, but it is radical, however, in a way that even though we don't all buy it, we're capable of understanding it. The ground has been prepared. The ground has been prepared for us now to see, well, you know, you make a choice inside your mind. The Course in Miracles says our perception determines the reality. He says, you think you see a reality, and then you say, well, that's just the way it is. It's quite the opposite. We choose what we're going to see, and then we see it. Santa Claus, we say, well, there is no Santa Claus, darling. There is no Santa Claus because, you know, there's really no little old man coming down. You know, I remember asking my mother, Mommy, is there a Santa Claus? And I knew it as soon as I asked her. I was sorry. I knew something in me said, you don't want to ask. I had already asked it. And my mother said, no. And it was the first time in my conscious memory I looked at my mother and said, you are a bitch. I knew it. I knew I had sold my own childhood down the river. I was like, 6 years old, you did it to yourself. Right? This little kid, I knew it. I knew, what am I letting them do to me? Right? When there is a spirit of Santa Claus, it's karma. Santa Claus is a child's vision of karma. That's all that it is. Somebody's been watching you, knows when you've been good or bad, and you will get the gifts of the spirit. That's all it is. It will come down through your crown chakra. You will feel it in the morning. Yeah? Isn't that true? Isn't that the truth? No, darling, it doesn't exist. Right? Right? So we have, but now, so now what we could say is, well, you know, our parents taught us a certain way, so it's too late now. Right? And the message of the Course is always, well, in this instant, you can choose to see it differently. Once again, that business about existential choice, no one can make you see anything any differently than you want to see it. I don't care if you're in a dungeon. Nobody can make you believe what you don't want to believe. And nobody can make you choose not to believe what you choose to believe. I mean, God, look at what's happening in Eastern Europe. Look what's happening in Russia. I mean, it is so amazing to see how all the material might in the world is not enough to ultimately triumph over an idea that has become an ignited spark within people's hearts. That's just the way it is. Now, what we were saying before was that will ultimately occur. That the good will triumph over evil. It will ultimately occur. What you and I have a choice in, and that's why tonight is so important, is how long it takes. Now, there is going on at this moment a celestial speed-up, the Course in Miracles says. Time is getting faster. And what it means to say time is getting faster is that the Course in Miracles says time itself is merely a reflection of our faith or lack of it. You know, it's like, you know, the thing they say, medical science now says there will be a cure for AIDS in 5 years. Great! Medical science says there'll be a cure for AIDS in 5 years, so you and I can walk around, once again, so liberal, there's a cure in 5 years, there's a cure in 5 years. Well, maybe medical science has a cure in 5 years. We have one tonight. That's the message of resurrection, that there is a principle that is not in time. There is no time. So if you're going to say there's a cure for AIDS in 5 years, that means it has already happened. Because the past, Einstein says, is just a thought we're having, and the future is just a thought we're having. Now, 5 years is doing pretty good. 5 years is doing pretty good, but it's not doing nearly as good as we can do. It reflects a faith, but it still reflects a faith in our small self of this earth. There will be a cure for AIDS in 5 years is saying, given all the power we can muster as earth plane beings, that's as good as we can do. Now, you have a choice. You can go bigger than that. Or we can recognize that of ourselves, we're nothing, and we can own and permit ourselves the expanded context through human choice, psychological choice, to agree. To agree. Remember, in the Course in Miracles says that when enough people become miracle-minded, or like when Buckminster Fuller says there will be a critical mass, when enough people agree that it can happen tonight, the world shall be healed. And that's not just the Course in Miracles says that. That, you know, I remember when Werner Erhard was radical. Remember how he used to talk about hunger all the time? He said, what we need from you is to agree that hunger is over. It can be over now. And he's always been very onto that stuff, right? This just, what do you think is possible? Because whatever you think is possible is what will be possible for you. And if you don't think something is possible, then it won't be. Haven't you ever been like at support groups and in conversations with people who go on and on and on about their problems? And then you give a suggestion, and they go, but, they don't want to spend much time on your suggestion of a solution, right? Either that, or you suggest something, oh, I tried that. Now, let me tell you, You know, and it's like these red lights. You know those kind of people in the red lights go, they are not interested in a solution. They are extremely in love with the problem, right? And those are people around whom you just get quiet, turn on television, file your nails. Say, well, I'm sure it'll all be fine. They're not interested in an adult conversation about it. And that's fine. That's fine. But if they're, but what you're seeing there demonstrated is if they're not open to it, they're not going to get it. They're not going to see it. They have an investment in not seeing it. And that's why all this stuff about Easter and the religious symbolism about it, all this stuff, that's what everybody, I mean, it's great art sometimes, but terrible theology. Right? Because, you know, I was reading an article today about how the crucifixion of Jesus, it was in the calendar section of the LA Times and the art section, it was talking about how the crucifixion of Jesus is the most often painted image, visual image in Western art. That's what people, you know, have most often painted. So what that meant, and you know, in the olden days, with art, it's so amazing because that was before television, that was before the movies, before stereo. So that was, those were the icons, those were the images that really went into people's minds, right? That's why something like the birth of Jesus being held by Mary is so important. There are many images of religious art that were so fabulous because they shot right into people's minds. But the idea of a crucifixion, we get what we focus on. So we have just become a whole racial consciousness since the birth of Jesus, if anything, more focused than ever on our suffering. The whole notion was he was the Messiah. You know, sometimes there's this dear, dear man who leads the choir for us here, sometimes the lectures here. And whenever we have like Christmas or Easter, these times of great celebration, and he'll lead the choir in these wonderful songs of, you know, hallelujah and glory and the sky was dark and now it's light, these beautiful, beautiful songs. Why do white Christians sing them like dirges? I will turn to him and say, whose funeral is this? Hallelujah. Now, black people don't do that. Isn't that interesting? The black churches are, they got it. Sometimes people say to me, why don't black people come to the lectures? I say, they don't need it. They know. They know. And I don't know why that is, actually, but it's true. I've told you the story about when I went to those black churches in Houston, at Black Church, and I would go there and I would hear the music, and it was just so amazing, and the gospel music, and it was all so celebratory, and all the songs about Jesus and overcoming, and he's risen. I mean, it was just so exciting. You really understood that is where rock and roll came from. And you were so excited, and you got it just listening to the music. And this one church in Houston, entirely black congregation, and I was sitting there, I was just like blissed out, and I said, God, I'm going to come here every Sunday, and the music was so great. And then all of a sudden, the music's over, and these very serious looking white men come up on stage. They just file in there, the elders of the church, not a black one among them. And this one white guy gets up there, and he goes, what do you look so happy about? He says, I know you've been fornicating all week. They've been doing three things. I forget. They've been fornicating. They've been doing something second. I don't remember. But then the worst one, you've been smoking. This is unbelievable. And then all these people that have been so happy. But you know what the Course in Miracles would say about that is it would be funny if it were not so sad. That's major oppression. That is like very sad. Because that man had made those people believe that God did not love them when 5 minutes before they had known better. Right? For whatever reason, the Course in Miracles talks about the ego's religion. And what the message of Easter is about joy, the Course in Miracles says. He says in the Course in Miracles the same thing he says in the Bible where he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Martin Luther King used that image a lot, to overcome. To overcome means, as the Course in Miracles says, to use the wings of an eagle. He says in the Course, who would fly with the wings of a sparrow once you have experienced the wings of an eagle? And that means that you have changed your mind about the world. He says in the Course, don't seek to change the world. Seek to change your mind about the world. And to seek to change your mind about the world means to know that all it is a reflection of our own choices of what we think the world is and what we think our relationship to the world is. The Course in Miracles says the only problem you have is you have forgotten who you are. And what we are asked to do, no less than Jesus, is to demonstrate while living on this earth that no matter what the form of the crucifixion, no matter what the problem in your life or anyone else's or the entire world's, that we know that all it is a manifestation of the mind when turned away from God, and the mind turned away from God has absolutely no power in front of the power of God. That will ultimately be shown. As we said before, there has never been a storm that hasn't passed. But we can, through owning that power, as Jesus did, asking him, if he's a comfortable image for us, to enter into our minds, to make our minds one with him. We're taught in the Course of what Jesus did, and we're not taught that he's the only face that Christ takes. We're taught he is a face that Christ takes. But what happened, because his mind was completely healed by the Holy Spirit, no matter what happened, he was not tempted to believe in the power of darkness. He said, it's not of the Father, it doesn't exist. A leper comes up to Jesus, and Jesus looks at the leper. But leprosy was not created by God, because God is love. Leprosy, an illness, it's a manifestation of the illusion. Jesus didn't see the leper. Jesus didn't see the leprosy in the leper. He just saw the Son of God beyond the leprosy. He did not believe in the leprosy. And the power of his conviction was so total that in his presence, the leper didn't believe in the leprosy either. And in that moment, he was healed. And that's what miracles are. Miracles occur as a change in physical manifestation brought about through the power of a human mind convinced that this is silly. Convinced that this is silly. And that's what it means to say Jesus' mind was healed. I always say Jesus had individual therapy. We're in group therapy. That's what the second coming is, in a way. It's like all of us getting it through our transactions with one another. And Jesus says in the Course, he says, I'm not an ego-oriented teacher. An ego-oriented teacher really never wants you to know as much as he knows, because then he's lost his niche. He says, I look forward to the day when you know as much as I do. I look forward to the day when you manifest power as quickly as I do. Until that day that you can, he says, ask me what to do. Until that day, ask me what to do. He says, my mind joined with your mind can shine away the ego. And so what we do when confronted with the crucifixions in the world is we say of ourselves, we cannot do anything. But there is a power. Once again, this is the beginning of the 12 steps. Same thing. Of myself, I can't. But there is a power in me. which can cast out any form of crucifixion, no matter what. No matter what. And that is what we celebrate. That's why we sing hallelujah about this. That's when you come to understand the meaning of the words praise the Lord, to praise that power, to get, yeah, there is this power in the universe. And for us to own it is not arrogant, it's humble. We're not taking personal credit for it. We didn't create that power. The Course in Miracles says to think that you don't have the power to allow God's power to work through you, and that is the power of your own decision, that is arrogant, the Course says, because that would imply you're something less than God created you to be. And so Easter is about the Son of God rising from the past. And all the problems that you and I have, individually and collectively, are the product of dead thoughts. We are no longer dead. The stone is being pushed away. The dead body is now being laid aside, and a light body is rising. That's not just within someone else 2,000 years ago. That's within you and me, should we choose. And it's about the entire racial consciousness, should we choose. And if we do choose tonight, then the vibration by which all this is happening happens quicker. It's happening in the world. I mean, really. You know, I mean, when you look at the news, turn on the news, it's incredible what's happening in this earth. Isn't it true? There's so much to be hopeful about. Things are happening. I mean, the way that the 80s ended, who would have ever thought? With the Berlin Wall coming down, everything that's happening in Russia, so much is happening in so many places. The only problem is too many spiritual people don't read the news. So-called spiritual people, because all these people who like joined at the harmonic convergence to say, oh, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. And then you talk to them and say, can you believe how good it is in Romania? They go, what happened? It would be nice if we sort of got the data, back up our own conviction, you know? It is happening. And all we're talking about here is making it happen faster. That's all we're talking about at Easter, is to be of good cheer. The world has been overcome. There's no more processing you need to go through. Right? It really isn't. It's just deciding now. I mean, you can do it now. You can do it later. And that's what it's like go for the whole enchilada, you know? Go for the whole power. Because if Jesus overcame death itself, then the whole point here is if he could overcome death itself, then we can overcome the little mini crucifixions we go through in our lives. That's the meaning. The Course in Miracles says you will eradicate sickness and you will eradicate death because you made both of them. You don't have to believe in any of them anymore. You don't have to believe in death. They did not die. They are no longer existing in physical incarnation, but that does not mean they died. And you have so much available to you beyond your physical senses. Your physical senses are 10% of your brain cells, so that's not where you'll be communicating with them anymore. That doesn't mean you can't communicate with them. Doesn't mean you can't talk to them. Doesn't mean you can't hear back from them. Same with sickness, same with any other manifestation. There's another way of seeing this, and that is to know if it is not of the Father's will, I'm only thinking it's true. But I'm willing to see as God sees. I'm willing to think as God thinks. I'm willing to have the Holy Spirit come into my mind, and through that divine alchemy of gracious action within us, we become different. We're not the same men we used to be. We're not the same women we used to be. We have let go the dead body of the past. We have stopped whining. We have owned a magnificence in ourselves and a power in ourselves humbly that we had not owned before. We do this in order to rise above the manifestations of our own despair, and we know as we do this, we bring closer into manifestation the healing of the entire world. So I'd like to conclude with a prayer. And in this prayer, I want us all to imagine ourselves already there. What would this Christed being, this actualized being within you, who does not whine, who is not petty, who is not small-minded, who owns the power of all good to come through you, to give ourselves the opportunity in this prayer to imagine that being, because it is what we imagine in ourselves and in others that we bring forth. Please join with me. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple, And into this space, we invite the power of the resurrected one, the Christed one, one who has mastered. To some of us, he appears as Jesus. And now we recognize the dead which is within us, the hopeless, the desperate, the part of us who thinks we're bound by what happened in the past, the part of us which thinks we are victims of something that we can't escape, the part of us that believes that there is any heartbreak which cannot be healed within us, the part of us which is unforgiving of ourselves or others, the part of us which is not the most gracious, loving personality, the part of us that feels inadequate and weak, the part of us which, for whatever reason, is without hope. And now, all of those thoughts and attitudes of death now fall down around us like a suit of clothes we no longer wish to wear. It is unzipped, it is let go. And as this body of darkness is relinquished, we step up and out. A new body of light. We now arise, beginning, born once more in this moment, and we feel what it feels like to no longer whine, to no longer complain, to no longer play small. What does it feel like to know we are magnificent? What does it feel like to know it is humble and permissible to know this about ourselves because it is the glory of God which shines through us? What does it feel like to know that we do that which we love to do and experience a win from it because that is the will of God? What does it feel like to know that our own beingness is a shining light and a ripple of hope in our own community and world and relationships? What does it feel like in this moment to receive God's crown? What does it feel like in this moment? What does it feel like all that is dark and small within us? What does it feel like to know we are the sons of God in whom God Himself is very well pleased? For the perfect which is within us, the potential which is within us, is now given room to breathe, a garden in which to grow, a house in which to live, a chamber in which to be. We make this choice for ourselves and for the entire world. Let the dead bury the dead thoughts of the past. Let there be new life. Let suffering be gone. Let sickness be gone. Let death be gone. For one among us has overcome. We now choose for ourselves conscious access to the power he has brought down into the vibrations of planet Earth. We choose to be in his army of light. We choose to be one with his power in humility and with gratitude and with only a desire of peace for ourselves and one another. And so we begin again. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you very much.